This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get into something that you all want to know, that everybody's interested in this morning, and that is the money.
She's waving her book around, punting it like you can't believe.
Everywhere.
Look at that.
I know.
Thank you.
It's out of control.
I didn't get a copy, but anyway.
Who are we talking about, Damon?
We're talking about
Anthea Gardner.
That's right. So Anthea is here this morning. But let's play her song, because everybody loves to sing along in the traffic on their way in and while they're thinking about their money. So Anthea, let's go with She Works Hard for Her Money version number. Which one do you want?
347, please.
Is that the Pointer Sisters?
Is that enough? We've got so many versions of this. Let me see what I've got here.
But the Pointer Sisters, no, Diana Ross. Who was the original?
Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, yeah.
Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Damon.
And me?
Donna Summer. Remember Donna Summer?
You did a version, yeah. Your version's very good. Let me see what version I've got.
Is Donna Summer still alive?
They made a Broadway musical about her. Wow. That's all I know currently.
I think Donna Summer may have...
You know what? Let me find the original. That'll be fun. We haven't actually
The Donna Summer version.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Donna Summer still alive?
No, she died back in 2012.
I thought so.
Oh, Donna Summer.
Well, listen, she had a good innings. Don't feel bad about
her.
No,
I don't think she was that old. She must have been maybe in her late 60s, maybe. What was she?
How old was she?
She was born in 1948.
Okay, so she would have been 72. She would have been 72, 73 this year if she was still alive.
All right, here she is.
So late 60s. She passed late 60s. Young. Not having a hit for many years since this one. Obviously got to her.
Oh, all right, let's have Anthea Gardner. Good morning, Anthea. What's up in money?
Good morning, guys. Where's Ben this morning?
Ben's out. He's done. You didn't know that he's finished? His Friday was his last show.
No, I didn't know that.
Thanks for paying attention.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever give a... makes me sad.
He never revealed. Was it just too much for him?
Yeah, he's got his other business.
Which other is business doing very, well?
Very, yes, it's coming along nicely. And
very
nice. He needs to give it more attention. Plus, he doesn't like this waking up early thing. It was taking its toll on his health.
He did 5 years, 1 month. That's a good innings.
It's a good innings. But anyway, as I said, back to Anthea.
But I wanted to talk about MultiChoice. I mean, we must own MultiChoice shares after yesterday's sporting on TV.
Yeah.
It was the most ridiculous. Even I watched sport. I never watched sport.
Damon was saying, greatest time to be a TV viewer and greatest time to be a sports fan.
No, yes, yesterday was surreal.
And a MultiChoice share owner, right? I mean, at their last reporting, headline earnings per share grew 33%. And now we know why. So, yeah, that's I wanted to talk to Ben about that, but what a shame.
Oh,
okay, well, moving on.
You have to phone him.
Okay, if I must.
I have to phone him.
But not now.
All right, so what's happening, Anthea?
Yeah, we had a fairly quiet week on the JSE. You know, the market was in all directions last week. We couldn't really decide whether we wanted to be positive or negative. So, like, Monday was down 2%, Tuesday was up 1%, Wednesday was down 1%. Like, it was just all over the place. The Rand was fairly good, though, flirting with 13 to the dollar. Well, sorry, with a 13 handle, I should say. And when we say a 13 handle, we mean that the big number is 13. So it's not 14.15 or 14.10. It's 13.92 to the US dollar.
But that's good. We like this. A little
we
bit of pressure
it.
In the opposite direction.
Flirtatious rand.
Yeah.
It just couldn't hang on, though. So it did close at above 14 again. But still, it's great. And then Woolworths reported a trading update pretty much in line with what we were expecting. They said on Thursday that fashion, home and beauty business was now being fixed finally, because that's where they went wrong the last time. And they're realizing that Woolworths is a, how do I put this nicely, middle-aged person's store, because they said that people don't want high fashion. They don't want fast fashion.
Yeah.
You know, they want the good quality standard stuff. So
yeah,
you want
like
your
t-shirts
black,
and jeans.
That's it. Your t-shirts, your jeans, your black cardigan, your something that your jacket, your kind of good quality. And so it's obviously paid off, because sales was up 1.5% just in the fashion business,
okay,
compared to down 1.5% the year before.
Okay, so they've realized that keep it simple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've figured out the KISS principle.
Mm-hmm.
And then group sales were up 3.9%. And so obviously food's still doing really well at Woolworths, surprisingly.
Mm.
I mean, I thought that people would shop down and that Woolworths kind of, you would go somewhere cheaper. But, you know, like apparently those pick and pay, those big pick and pay stores are doing good food compared to Woolworths and slightly cheaper. But Woolworths still hanging in there.
It is. They are expensive, but at least you know that you're getting a certain quality. You don't have to go to three different shops. I mean, like, the worst thing for me, it would be worth paying more to not have to go to a shop and find, like, their fresh produce is bad or...
So that's why I shop at Woolworths. Because I live alone and I cannot stand buying, like, a lettuce, for example, and then having to throw half of it away. Like, use it once and then the next day or 2 days later, it's gone. Whereas I know with Woolworths, at least it'll last.
Yeah.
And that's my reason for shopping at Woolworths.
How about you, Damon? Woolworths?
I'm a Woolworths man, but only for certain things.
Like?
Just the meats and the vegetables and the lettuce and just for that. Yeah. You can't. People who walk around with a full shopping trolley from Woolworths, I mean, where are they from?
They're printing money, clearly.
They're printing money.
Yeah. Do you know what I haven't done is checked whether the basics like toilet paper and washing powder at Woolworths is more expensive.
No,
I should do that, actually. I'll do that exercise. It's worth doing.
Okay. Yeah, you can add that as another chapter to your next book.
Exactly.
What I think you
audit
might
Woolworths prices. Yeah.
What you might find, which I think, is some of the things will be almost the same price as Pick and Pay, yada yada. But then the other half will be a little bit more expensive. That's my understanding.
There was actually a great article a couple of days ago about how South Africans are shopping for discounts, which I actually never got around to reading. I forgot about it.
I saw it
come up and then forgot to read it.
The discount thing is a bit of a racket because you can't especially go to a shop because there's a discount on something.
Let me tell you what I did the other day. Listen, I don't normally pay attention to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And even I found myself doing it. You know, you buy those mixes, like you get different kinds of mixes, soda waters, tonics, those kinds of things, right? And I had a few people coming around and I thought, I'm going to either buy the expensive mixes in the very smart looking cans or I'm going to buy the cheapest ones I can find. And I bought the cheapest ones I could find.
Yeah.
And I normally wouldn't do that. But you start thinking, you know.
Did it raise any eyebrows at the gathering?
No.
Well,
no
that's the point.
People don't care.
No one cares.
What's in the can that matters.
I think we're all becoming more financially savvy in some ways. You know, for me, I started looking at the rewards and benefits I have linked to my bank card and started thinking, oh, actually, if I shop here, if I fill up there, I think a lot of people are following on trends like that.
Well, on that note, we're looking at Savings Month. It's July, it's Savings Month. So we're doing a couple of features which will help you figure out how to save and how to make sure that you're a little more responsible with your money. Yes, that's coming up this week, so listen out for that.
Fantastic. So I've just found the article. It says last year, almost a third of all consumer products were sold at discount prices in South Africa, which is one of the highest rates in the world.
Well, you said the other day that the retailers are now squeezing their margins so paper thin because they're trying to give the best possible prices and discounts to the customers.
That's right.
And they're feeling pressure from the market, obviously, which is down. And as a result, they're prepared to take, you know, massive
a cut in their margins.
Price cuts,
not make as much profit. And then on to Sia's point, F&B Banking have now launched a free health rewards program. Mm. So pretty much in line with this discovery, and you'll get benefits for exercising and shopping lower. Yeah, so they're basically competing to the business that they incubated, Discovery.
So do you get your blood pressure taken at your nearest F&B branch?
I'm not sure about that yet.
Won't be long before you can.
Mm.
All right, good for F&B. Yeah, innovating again.
So they're
again.
Not tracking your fitness goals and you have to complete a questionnaire. Sounds very Discovery, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
it's that, and they're going to call it goal-based investing. So they do this thing where you can go in on the app, the F&B app, and decide how much you need to save to get to your financial goal. So if you decide you want to save for a car, for example, you tell them how much you want to have at the end of it, and they'll tell you how much you need to save every month.
Oh.
It's all getting very clever, this behavioral banking.
I find it very convenient.
What do you find convenient?
Just being able to use my bank as a one-stop shop.
I know, it's great.
Yeah, I'm like, sure, let me insure with them.
I buy electricity with my F&B.
Really?
Because I'm on prepaid.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh.
All right, here's something interesting.
You try to cut me off again, Eskom.
The CEO of the Stringfellow Group, this guy, Thomas Stringfellow, handed himself over to police at the Honeydew Police Station. What did he do?
Oh, this is a very sad story. So Thomas Stringfellow is or was a broker for F&B and Sanlam. For 15 years. And then a couple of years ago, decided to go out on his own and become an asset manager and manage people's money. And he started running unit trusts.
Which is what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you know this guy? Did you meet him?
No, I don't. I know of him.
Not even a lunch?
Nope, not even a lunch. Or maybe I didn't, I don't remember.
We went to a conference together or anything?
We probably were at some sort of conference together, but there are 900 definitely. People at conferences. So.
Yeah, and you can't network everyone.
Exactly, and he does use the same administrator for his unit trust that I do. But this is the interesting thing, because him and his wife also own Lorna Jane Clothing. Remember the athleisure business? Now, when last have you seen a Lorna Jane store? They're all closed down.
They have like billboards on Rivonia Road.
Still?
Towards Sandton, yeah, in Morningside.
Okay.
Well, maybe their schmutzy haven't been cleaned lately.
So what's happened?
So basically, he asked clients to invest in other businesses alongside with him, including this Lorna Jane brand, which has gone under. And he stole their money, basically. The BCI, the unit trust stuff, and this is a big issue for us because we, as asset managers, are very pedantic about the fact that if you invest with me, I will never take your money. The money will never come into a Cartesian bank account. The money will go into an administrator, Boutique Collective Investments or a Peregrine or an RMB or Ashburton, into a different platform, into a trust account.
So that you can't get your greasy paws
that's
on
right.
our money.
I never touch clients' money.
So then Stringfellow didn't use an administrator.
He did. And so don't worry about it. If you're invested with him on his unit trust, your money's safe.
Okay.
But if you invested with any of the other private equity stuff, the Lorna Jane, if you gave money to him directly,
you were strung along.
I'm afraid you were made off.
Yeah. You were made off.
He made off with your money.
And how much money? Do they say how much money is involved?
Hundreds of millions of rands.
Oh my God!
Wow.
What are these people who rip these huge?
What do they think is going to happen?
But what do they do with all this money? I mean, where do they think they're going to hide it?
That's what intrigues me. So you're running
a
business.
You can't hide
100
million rand.
Well, don't they siphon it off to the Channel Islands or whatever?
What do they
called?
Do, Anthea?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe the court. Maybe the court case.
Rand.
Maybe the court case will tell us.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay,
maybe they just lead such fancy lives and spend it on overseas holidays and fancy cars and big houses. I don't know.
Tell me.
Honestly. Yes.
The guy had to hand himself over at the police station. Now he's been arrested.
Yeah.
And what happens? Does he
so
know?
The FSCA, the what used to be the FSB, are now saying that they're investigating him, and obviously they'll freeze his accounts. Hmm. I don't know. I think his wife's gone missing. Lee Stringfellow's gone missing.
Oh,
so she really was the one who ran the Lorna Jane stores
into the ground.
Yes, and yeah, they'll try and find where the money went. His accounts obviously would have been frozen now.
Wow. This, between him and Marcus Huster, it's not looking great for business people at the moment.
Oh, and then there's also the Tongaat guy, right?
Oh, what happened to him?
Nothing yet. Also still investigating, and we'll see what happens.
But there was another Ponzi scheme that was revealed about a week or so ago. Ash, the guy's surname was Ash, about 63 million rand involved.
In South Africa?
Yeah, he disappeared to Israel.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't care about this.
We've got to squeeze in just two quick things. Virgin Galactic, I heard that they have listed on the stock exchange.
Not yet. They're planning to list. And so everyone's very excited about it. And so you've obviously heard the speculation that they're planning or that they're listing, right? I don't know what else to say with it. They're creating a special purpose acquisition company. They haven't given us any numbers yet. But apparently he's also flying the first tourist to the moon soon.
Richard Branson.
Would you invest in this?
Show me the numbers.
But where do they make their money? I mean, you can only attract so many passengers who are willing to pay X amount of money to get into space. And I think the costs of getting there are so huge, and they've already got sunken costs that are enormous. I don't see how you make the money.
Yeah.
How do you monetize space travel?
I also want to see it.
It's going
to
be very difficult.
So actually, about 7 years ago, I had a friend who made his money in South Africa and then moved to Switzerland, who actually paid up front. And I think it was, I want to say, $22,000 to secure his seat on the Virgin Galactic flight to the moon.
They won't even pay the fuel.
Well, exactly. So it's a shame, right? Like, you're right. Like,
so it's just, I think this is a waste of money. Okay, finally, British Airways.
Yes, they got fined 230 $1 million for computer hacks for exposing customer data. I think it was the biggest fine to for an anti-hacking or for a data privacy breach. That's what it is, a data privacy breach, right?
Yeah.
And to British Airways. Over 500,000 customers were affected last year.
Well, thank goodness someone's taking this privacy thing seriously. Because we all have data online. And I mean, I don't really care if you've got my data online. Everybody has. I get a call from someone trying to sell me something that I've never met before every other week. Mm. So there's databases out there with me on them.
All the time.
And you know what? There's no such thing as privacy anymore. But at least when these companies abuse people, they should be punished. And
absolutely,
they should be fined.
So I'm a British Airways club member, whatever you call that. And I was nervous. But I haven't heard anything yet, but they could have stolen my bank accounts, my ID numbers, my address.
No phone calls?
Not yet, no. Oh, I get phone calls all the time saying, would you like to buy more insurance? Would you like to buy a car? Would you like... Oh, it's nonstop, right?
All right, Anthea.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much. Have a good week.
Awesome stuff. There we go. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.